Thank you, Debbie. That was amazing. Beautiful, beautiful song. It's like, wow. This last week, I happened to watch Horse Whisperer, and so the whole movie, which is a very spiritual, tender, heart-wrenching movie, just came back instantly. So thank you. It was such a gift. I came upon this story of a woman who had a cat, and the cat seemed to be getting fatter and fatter. And so she called the vet in, and the vet said, well, this cat is pregnant. She's about to have kittens. And the woman said, that's impossible. That's impossible. She has never been out of the house. And she, if I go out of the house, she's on a leash. She's never been out of my eyesight. It's impossible. And just then, as the vet is kind of scratching her head, a big tomcat comes out from under the couch. And she said, well, what about him? She says, no, it's impossible. That's her brother. So my talk title is, Who Told You It Was Impossible? Who told you it was impossible? Who told you that what your dream is impossible? Our tendency is, and this comes right from The Alchemist, our tendency is to give our power away as we grow older. We start doing things to please others rather than to please the desire of our heart. We start doing things to satisfy other people's opinions of who we should be or how we should be. And every time we do that, we give away a little portion of ourselves. So this is a good morning to reclaim it all. Reclaim all of you. Say yes to who you are, because who you are is magnificent. You're a magnificent expression of the one power. Here on purpose, as Paulo Coelho would say, you're here to discover and live your personal legend. But that's just fancy language for saying to live your purpose. Why are you here? What is the gift you came to give? And not to be dissuaded, not to do it for any reason whatsoever, but say yes. Yes to your own dream. And to let that yes resound through the universe and truly be who you are. Yesterday, I spent the whole day from a little before 9 until after 5 at the Women's Journey Conference at University UCI Irvine. And the Costa Mesa Center for Spiritual Living puts this on every year. It was magnificent. First time I've taken a whole Saturday to do something other than my talk preparation. But wouldn't you know it, there's stuff from what I did yesterday for my talk. How good God is. So anyway, I want to tell you, the quality, the caliber of speakers that they get is absolutely phenomenal. We started with Ruth Poynter of the Poynter Sisters, who told her personal story, which is filled with the highest highs and the lowest lows. Because, yes, she was famous, and everybody knew her, and everybody listened to their sound. And we were so excited, right? Because that was her big famous song. And she was hooked on drugs from the time she was a teenager, from diet pills. So she's now been in recovery for over 30 years. And she looks fantastic. And she sounds fabulous. So what I know is age is no barrier for us really living our dreams. And the only thing that gets in our way is when we're not true to that sacred self within us. So Ruth Poynter was someone that I really loved. Another person, the person, I was so happy to hear her story. How many of you remember the Bionic Woman, Lindsay Wagner? Okay. Well, Lindsay Wagner happened to have a very special mentor, Bill Hornaday. Know that name? Bill Hornaday, one of Ernest's assistant ministers, Ernest Holmes' assistant ministers. So I want to tell you this story that she told us about her mentor, Bill Hornaday. Because We can either react or we can respond to any life choices. We can say, well, it's impossible to always respond as your sacred self. But I want to tell you this story about Bill Hornaday because he proves that it's not impossible, it's possible. So one day, and I don't know where it was, whether he was out for dinner or whatever, he was by himself and he was held up at gunpoint. And the young man demanded he give him his wallet. And Bill Hornaday, instead of seeing danger, saw this person is in great pain. And instead of, he said, son, I'll give you my wallet, but you, what's going on with you? How could you throw your life away like this? What's happening in your life that you would stop a stranger and at gunpoint and risk everything? And the kid told him what was going on. He said, we haven't been able to pay our rent for 2 months. I'm behind in rent, and my child is hungry and crying, and I feel like a failure, and I don't have a job. And Bill said, here's all of my money from my wallet. But that won't be enough. Listen to this. That won't be enough to pay your back rent. It won't be enough to tide you over until you get a job. So let me write you a check, too. And come into my office tomorrow, and we'll make sure that you get a job. Lindsay went on to say that she was pretty sure that the new caretaker of their center was this young man. But think about the consciousness. Think about the consciousness. He was accosted. There was a gun in this kid's hand. Most of us would be at least defensive. But if we see what he saw this hurting person, we could respond instead of react. You know, at the conference, they had all sorts of vendors. They were great. There were people selling skincare products, everything a woman would want, skincare products, jewelry. I mean, you didn't name it. It was all there. But they were also selling defense weapons for women. And when I went by it, I thought, no. And one of the saleswomen was a former police officer. And from her perspective, you need to be prepared and armed. I get her perspective. It's not my perspective. From my perspective, I need to be unarmed and loving. But can I always be in every situation? It's something, so I so admire Bill Hornaday from that story and many others I've heard about him, and of course our beloved Ernest, that if we're really practicing what we teach here, if we're practicing this principle of oneness, then it should be very easy in every circumstance to see the good, to see the beauty in everyone and the possibilities that they represent. So here's the thing. And Lindsay said this as well, and it's pure science of mind. We see through our own perspective of things. We don't, the thing that I'm looking at, you all can be looking at the very same thing, we're seeing a different thing because we're all seeing through our own context. We're seeing through our own beliefs, through our own values. So likely most of us would see similarly in a place like this. But we wouldn't see exactly because we have different histories. We have different ideas. So we see through perspective. We see ourselves through that perspective too. And where we are, what we're moving toward, coming to, is where everything that we know, the dreams of our heart, are not only possible, but they're probable. Because the one presence put those dreams in your heart. Your dream, no one else has your dream. They may have one similar to you, but no one has yours. And no one can live that dream like you can. So I want to tell you a little bit more about The Alchemist because I think it's such a fabulous story. The more I reread it, the more I get out of it. So I told you last week that the boy, the shepherd, was two fortune tellers, two people, one fortune teller and one priest, told him that he had a treasure waiting for him in Egypt by the pyramids. And what I want you to know about the old man, as he calls him all throughout the book, the old man's name is Melchizedek. Anyone know who that is? No, not the tree wise man, but Charlie Summers knows. It's the high priest of Abram. It's the high priest of Abram became Abraham. He's the priest of the Most High God, is how he says, he describes himself in the Bible. I am the priest of the Most High God. Well, there is only one God. I'm the priest of the Most High God. And what did Abram do? He gave him a tenth of everything, and then Melchizedek blessed him. So now, in our story, the shepherd, the Melchizedek, says, I will tell you more about your treasure, but first you must give me 10% of your sheep. And the boy said, well, what about, because the gypsy had told him, when I get my treasure, you can give me 10% then. And Melchizedek says, no, in the present moment you give. In the present moment you give of what you have now. And then that multiplies. He gave him other advice. He said, listen to your heart, watch for, he calls them omens. I would call them just watch for signs from the universe that you're on point, that you're moving in the right direction. It's like each of us has a GPS. And when we're moving toward our dream, when we're in the right direction of our dream, everything feels good. It works well. And when we're moving in the direction away from our dream, it's like the whole universe is conspiring to get us back on track. It will keep making it hard for us to go in that wrong direction. So keep listening. Keep adjusting your course. You know, you think you're going in a straight line, but it's adjust, like a sailboat is always tacking. So that's tacking, not tacky. So he also told him, he gave him two stones to help him choose. They're divination stones. They came from his breastplate, of his priest breastplate. But he said, always best to use your own choices to make decisions. Don't depend on these stones. What good advice that is for us. Don't depend on somebody else, an outer sign. Look within you. Ask for guidance and then listen. Spend in your meditation time, go into the meditation with a question. By the end of the meditation, the answer is there. Always, always. But it's up to you. So he says, he's going from Spain. He's going to travel to Egypt. That's a long way. And he first crosses the strait and he gets into that part of the world where Arabic is spoken. And I told you last week, he has all this money from selling the rest of his sheep. He has all this money, and he shows it in a pub. And some guy comes and tells him, I'll help you realize your dream. Well, he steals the money and beats him up and leaves him. And then, so now he's without any money. And he comes upon a glass merchant. And the glass merchant says to him, the boy says he can help, he can work for the glass merchant because he has no money. And the glass merchant has just fed him. And the merchant said, it, by his religion, he would have had to feed him anyway. But he lets him work for him first, and then he feeds him. And then he says this. The boy says, the merchant says, do you want to work for me? And the boy says, I can work for most of today. I'll work all night until dawn. I'll clean every piece of crystal in your shop. In return, I need money to get to Egypt tomorrow. The merchant laughed. Even if you cleaned my crystal for an entire year, even if you earned a good commission from selling every piece, you would still have to borrow money to get to Egypt. There are thousands of kilometers of desert between here and there. There was a moment of silence, so profound that around the whole city was asleep. No sound from the bazaars, no arguments with the merchants, no man climbing to the towers, no hope, no adventure, no old kings or personal legends, no treasure, and no pyramids. It was as if the world had fallen silent because the boy's soul had. He sat there, staring blankly through the door of the cafe, wishing that he had died and everything would end forever at that moment. Despair. Someone told him his dream wasn't possible. So, you'll see by the rest of the story, he doesn't give his power to that merchant. That he does. I mean, the whole story is about his personal legend and his dream. But how easy it is for us to give away that which is highest to us because someone tells us it's not possible. It can't be done. Now, I wrote a blog about this because I think you can understand when someone says, oh, you do that? Well, if someone's done it, then surely I could do it. If someone's earned enough money to cross the desert to get to the pyramids, the boy could do it. If someone's done it, it can be done. And that's one of the reasons we always advise people, when you hear of something, when you read something of some great salary or great something being given to someone, instead of saying, isn't that awful that they're getting all that money for playing baseball or football, go, isn't that great? Because if they can do it, you can do it. If they can be worth that much, you can be worth that much. If their value, see, but if you say, oh, they shouldn't, then what you said to the universe, that is wrong action. So do you not do that? Everything is right action if we but look at it correctly. The harder thing is in when it hasn't been done before, and yet you still know it's your dream. No one's ever been to Egypt before. No one's ever seen the pyramids. Or, think about it. When the world was flat, it was just preposterous to think that you could sail around that cliff that was going to just you were going to drop off. Yet Columbus did it, and so did other people that weren't given credit for it because they didn't represent the Queen of Spain. But it was possible. It was impossible just a little more than 100 years ago for man to fly. But Orville and Wilbur Wright said, no, it's not impossible. We're going to do this. And because they persevered, because they persisted in their experiments in flying, we now get on an airplane. Well, it used to be very easy before 9/11, but we have, after a whole bunch of security, we get on an airplane. We know that airplane is going to go where we have bought our ticket to. Because some people had taken an idea beyond what had already been done. So listen to your language. So my encouragement this week is just listen to your language. Are you ever thinking or saying, it's impossible for me to? Now, there may be some physical laws that it would be impossible for me to. At this moment, I don't know how to bilocate, and we may never know that, or we may. I don't know. But at this moment, my physical body is here in this room, and there isn't another one of me, as far as I know, somewhere else. Right? Well, it could be. Okay, so possible. Don't let anyone steal your dreams. Don't let anyone tell you it's impossible to have what you want. Ernest always says, it's yours if it came to you. If it really is something you want, if it harms no one, and if it's life-affirming. It's possible. Okay, so put your hand on your heart. And just repeat after me. My dream is possible right now. I give up impossible. There's no such thing. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. Diana. And we're going to omit the prayer because I went a little over, and we're going to go right back into Debbie's second song. So, Debbie Wheeler.